Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
You know, so much bad news going on in the world, and unfortunately, we quickly start the noon hour with more. Hank Steinbrenner, the co-owner of the Yankees, has passed away after a very long illness. Sources confirm to the Post and the Daily News, and really, it's all over the place now. He's the eldest son of George Steinbrenner, kept out of the spotlight in recent years, and one key component to the passing of Hank. His death was not at all related to the coronavirus, Rick, but obviously, it's sad. And you know, 63 years old is certainly not old this day and age. So, you know, our condolences and thoughts go out to the Yankees and the Steinbrenner family here.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers. And it seems like every day, you know, we're having one of these conversations, bringing up one of these stories and having to wish our, you know, our thoughts and prayers. I mean, 63 is way too soon. And, you know, we're in a situation now where, you know, between, you know, Hank Steinbrenner, and then you had Carl Anthony Towns' mom. She passed away at 58. And then you had Colby Cave, you know, passing away at 25. I mean, it's just, I mean, 2020 has not been a great year. Has not.
No, man. We're a country that's grieving. We're a city that's grieving. I mean, when you start talking about the pandemic that's going on, we had over 2,000 deaths over the weekend. And I know they're saying that it's leveling off, but I mean, it just seems like it's more bad news after bad news, and it's just, this is another one of those things. And so, yeah, this is something that sucks. You know, like I said, our thoughts and prayers go out to the Steinbrenner family, the Yankee family. It's a family-run business. And so, you know that it's one of those things that's gonna sting for a really long time, and you're gonna feel the effects of that in the building. But, I mean, it's a sad day, Dave. It's another sad day.
That's what I was going to say. It's another sad day in a long line of many sad days. And our hearts and thoughts go to the Steinbrenner family and the entire Yankees family as Hank has passed away at the age of 63. Again, not related to the coronavirus. All right, let's get back into what we do, and that is analyze sports for better, for worse. And I think this is interesting. The commissioner of Major League Baseball was on Fox Business Network earlier today on Mornings with Maria, and here's what the commissioner, Rob Manfred, had to say about the start of the 2020 baseball season.
The only decision that we've made, the only real plan that we have, is that baseball is not going to return until the public health situation has improved to the point that we're comfortable that we can play games in a manner that's safe for our players, our employees, our fans, and in a way that will not impact the public health situation adversely. So right now, it's largely a waiting game. During that period, as you might expect any business would, we have engaged in, contingency planning. We've thought about how we might be able to return in various scenarios. But again, the key is the improvement in the public health situation.
So obviously you got to be cautious if you're any sport and if you're Major League Baseball. But I mean, how far, Rick, are we away from the start of a season? We're April 14th today. I can't see anything starting at the absolute earliest, any earlier than mid-June, best case scenario.
Yeah, no one knows. I mean, that's ultimately no one knows. And, you know, if you read any of the articles, what's going on in China with the Chinese Basketball Association, I mean, they were set to kind of resume, you know, business as usual, and they've been set back. I think they put the date now sometime in July. So you have no idea. I mean, the health of, you know, the players and logistics and everything else, I mean, you want to be part of the solution. You don't want to be part of the problem. And that goes into, you know, trying to make the decision when the right time is to get, you know, baseball, the NBA, and the NHL seasons started again.
The more I hear people in the know about this pandemic talk about it, it sounds like social distancing has been working, but we're still not close to being able to resume life as we knew it before this pandemic, you know, got to America. So I just think that with baseball, I think they're doing their due diligence and they're trying to figure out possible ways that they could come back, but doesn't sound like any of that's going to happen without the blessing of the public health officials in terms of where we're at as a society. Until we get to some normalcy in terms of our way of life, it doesn't sound like we're going to have baseball back before that.
No, it doesn't sound like it's anytime soon. And what you say is so right, Rick, and it's so accurate, and it stinks, and that is we don't know. You know, if I told you that on July 1st you'd have all these sports back, at least there's an end date there. At least there's a finish line. But not knowing, I think, makes the whole thing that much more frustrating because it could be June. We could not have a season. We could have this thing where they break it into Arizona and Florida. We could have this thing where they just lock down in Arizona all the teams. I mean, we have absolutely no idea. And I'm not saying that we should. I'm just saying that makes it that much more frustrating.
Well, of course you're frustrated. And I'm sure, I mean, Rob Manfred and, you know, Adam Silver and Gary Bettman and, you know, everyone, you know, is trying to figure this thing out is frustrated. But all you can do now is try to, you know, be as creative as possible as far as, you know, contingency plans are concerned, you know, where, when, how, you know, all the different hurdles that you're going to, I mean, you're going to encounter. So when, you know, you do get the okay, that you're ready to do it. But I mean, I think for a lot of these, I think all the commissioners involved is, you know, how one sport affects the other one. You saw with the NBA, as soon as Rudy Gobert, yep, you know, tested positive, they shut down. So then the NHL shut down. I mean, the last thing he would want to do is start prematurely and then have to stop, which would mean that now all the sports will have to stop. And, you know, how does that affect college football? How does that affect, you know, whoever starts first is going to be, will be the test case.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see how, and they can't afford, none of these leagues can afford it. Cause I mean, the finances involved, you're talking about billions of dollars, can't afford, you know, one of these leagues to jump the gun and then all of a sudden have to stop. And now everything goes back to square one.
Yeah, I agree with you. You can't be in a position where you're stopping and starting, but that also means that you have to be in position to be able to deal with somebody if and when you have a positive test. Because I think if you look at this situation, I don't think there's a realistic possibility for sports resuming and nobody that's affiliated with these organizations, with these teams getting back to playing games, test positive for the coronavirus. So you have to have a rapid, reliable test. That way you can make sure you can protect the individuals that aren't infected with the virus, but you can also isolate the people that are infected with the virus. So I think that has to be incorporated in whatever path forward that you chart.
Yeah, I don't know when, and that's the frustrating thing. And you were saying yesterday, Chris, how difficult this is to not have sports and there's so much going on in the world, and it is. I mean, it's just, I mean, what we have done, what you guys have done since you're kids, what I have done since I'm a kid, you know, differently than you guys, but is just ensconce ourselves in sports and just be completely involved and to have that ripped away. And I'm not saying it's the most important thing, but it gives, at least for me, and I think you guys as well, it gives me a sense of normalcy. It gives me a sense of this is, you wake up and you check the scores and you go to bed and you see where you're at and you wake up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and you check out the West Coast game. And it's just, it's not there. It's just, it's a very different normal that I've experienced over the last month plus right now.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really listen. I mean, you mentioned this with, you know, with the, you know, unfortunate Hank Steinbrenner news. I mean, there's no getting away from it. Like, there's been no reprieve. I mean, it's just us doing sports. You can't get away from the bad news. You can't.
No.
I mean, between
no.
Carl Anthony Towns, I mean, just you name it. Like, it's something that all of a sudden just it smacks you in the face, and
every,
there is nothing
day.
To take. Yeah, every single day. I mean, multiple times a day. I mean, with one thing or another, I mean, it just continues to beat you down. It really does.
It does, Rick. You're absolutely right. It does beat you down. And I know a lot of people are saying, you know, it's vain to talk about these sports leagues starting up. It's all about money, and that's the motivating factor. I'm not saying that money is not always factored into the equation when you're making decisions like this. But I also do think that, you know, sports being a distraction for what people are dealing with every single day with this pandemic. I mean, that to me is invaluable in terms of the mental health of this country, because sports is woven into the fabric of our society. Like, it's a huge part of who we are as a country. And to not have that when you're dealing with one of the toughest times that this country has seen in recent memory, that just makes it even tougher.
The Yankees have put out a statement. Let me read at least a portion of it. The Yankees mourn the passing of general partner and co-chairperson Henry G. Hank Steinbrenner, who passed away earlier today at his home in Clearwater, Florida, from a longstanding health issue. Mr. Steinbrenner was 63. Hank was a genuine and gentle spirit who treasured the deep relationships he formed with those closest to him, said the Steinbrenner family. He was introduced to the Yankees organization at a very young age, and his love for sports and competition continued to burn brightly throughout his life. Hank could be direct and outspoken, but in the very same conversation show great tenderness and lightheartedness. More than anything, he set an example for all of us in how comfortably he lived, enjoying his personal passions and pursuits. We are profoundly saddened to have lost him and will carry his memory with us always. Born April 2nd, 1957, raised in his birthplace of Cleveland, Ohio, Mr. Steinbrenner was the eldest of four children by former Yankees principal owner George M. Steinbrenner III and his wife, Joanne. So, you know, obviously very, very sad, and the passing of Hank Steinbrenner, and we'll probably find out more over the coming days, but certainly wanted to give it the appropriate attention that it deserves. He's survived by four children, daughters Jacqueline and Juliet, sons George, Michael IV, and John, one granddaughter, Annabelle, and his siblings Jennifer, Jessica, and Hal, and their families. During this time of mourning, the family respectfully asked for the privacy needed to grieve this tremendous loss. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's go to the phones. And you're ready, right, with your scalding hot take here on a Tuesday, which is not really supposed to have happen?
Yeah, a special little treat. I mean, Okay. Topical special little treat.
Okay, all right. Little treat as far as a hot take is concerned. Mark in Newark. Mark, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, fellas, how are you?
We're hanging in there, Mark. How you doing?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, me too. Hey, first, I was really getting myself all lathered up as I normally do about sports, and you guys just pretty much summed it all up. I mean, all of a sudden, I don't even feel like I really care. So, instead of ranting and all that about,
but
stuff
you can care. I mean, you can care. There's nothing wrong with caring about it, Mark. You still have to care. You still have to have passion when it comes to sports.
Yeah, I do, because what made me call was when that person, and Dave, I never agree with you, as you know, and I look forward to never agreeing with you, but...
Oh, I look forward to that as well. Thank you.
The person that said that you were uninformed, that's what made me call. I know that you bleed Giants. And Chris as well, and Rick, I know you bleed Jets. I know you're informed because I know this. You watch every second of every play, of every snap, of everything that has to do with blue, red, and white. And so from my standpoint, I get tired of hearing about all these so-called informed people. I mean, all these informed people to me, fellas, let's see. Lamar Jackson was supposed to be a wide receiver, right? How'd that work out? Okay, Josh Rosen was supposed to be one of the four top quarterbacks last year. How'd that work out? I mean, I don't take any stock in any of that crap.
We've seen that since the beginning of time with these drafts. I mean, we've seen guys in every sport go top two or three, and they're bums. And then we see guys go 38, and they're great.
Absolutely. That's why I'm saying, like, for example, if I was to say to you, Dave, what do you think the Giants need for this year, you'd be able to give me chapter and verse, every little nook and cranny of what they need, and that's what you would be looking for in the draft, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that being said, then when somebody tells you, oh, well, you need to get draft capital and don't trade this guy and get this guy in two and get this guy in three, I get it that it's all fun. I get it. But it's just, I think they just get way too much credit. And before I go, I just want to say to all of you guys, I hope you and your families are well, and we're all working through it together.
All right, Mark. Well, we certainly appreciate the call. But, I mean, Rick, the draft is the most inexact science in anything. I mean, we talk all the time about Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. There's nothing more obvious than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crapshoot. I mean, it's a crapshoot. I mean, I saw a stat today, or I heard a stat today. It's, I think it was, what, you know, 40% of first-round quarterbacks end up signing a second deal with the team that drafted him, something ridiculous like
that. About half of the first-round picks are busts.
Right.
And the number only goes down, you know, as you get into the latter rounds. So that number goes down, second round, third round, fourth round. So it's a crapshoot, to what Rick said. It's an inexact science in terms of being able to determine what these players are going to be, what they project at the next level. Some guys make the jump and they're more successful than others. A lot of it has to do with the team that you're going to and the staff that's in place, the ones that are responsible for developing these players. But, I mean, nobody's right on every single draft pick. Nobody. These guys, these GMs get paid millions of dollars. Scouting departments, teams invest tens of millions of dollars. Nobody's right on every pick.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is if you're the Giants, for example, and you're picking second, sixth, fourth, you better be right. Because if you're not, you're not going to wind up getting better. And that's the thing that's so difficult to look at with this organization right now, is that you shouldn't be picking in the top six 3 years in a row, yet somehow they are.
Yeah, they got the worst record the last 3 years in football.
No, we know.
Yeah, at 12 and 36. So at some point, you got to change that. We'll see if this is the year that happens, whether the new head coach is able to get things back on track. But, I mean, there's a lot of work to be done with this Giants team, not only from a roster construction standpoint, but overall systems and player development. So I don't know that that's all going to get turned around in 1 year. And is the job that Joe Judge does this year enough to be able to save Dave Gettleman's job?
I don't know that we have the answers to that right now, but hopefully they're a decent football team if and when we get to the NFL season. There's everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or your sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN. New York. All right, you ready? With a really just a hot take that wasn't even anticipated coming into the day. You ready?
I am ready. I figured I'd surprise you guys with a little Tuesday hot take.
Okay. So now, before we start this, Chris, you said, Rick, this is not sports related, correct?
Not sports related, no.
Okay. All right. Chris, you want to lead off or you want me to lead off?
I want to let you lead off, Dave.
All right. Does this have anything to do with the world of television?
It does. It
mm-hmm.
does.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It has something to do with sports media?
It does.
Sports media and television. Your question completely threw me now.
Excellent question by Canty. Excellent question.
Excellent. But when he asked it, I was like, no, what is that? And then I got the yes. So I was kind of taken aback. All right, so it's television, sports, media. Chris, do you have an avenue that you're going here?
Yeah, do you want me to lead with my second question?
Well, sure.
You didn't sound too certain with that.
Well, I mean, you could, if you seem to really know the direction, you could push me in that direction.
Rico, is it ESPN related?
Yes,
it is.
Canty. Yeah, Canty. See,
he knows Canty. Where it's going. Chris, take my second question.
You got it, Dave. Come on now.
can I will it to you? Can I push it through the microphone here? All right. So So let's see. Is it draft related?
No,
it's not draft related.
Does it involve another sports media entity?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
No, it doesn't.
All right, so recap where we are here, please, Rick.
All right, this is TV related. It's also related to sports media. It does not involve different sports media. This is close to home. This
close
is a good little hint.
Home.
Close to home. This take hits close to home.
Close to home.
Very close to home.
All right. Is it my question here?
It's up on you.
Yeah, it's on you, Dave.
Is it with our station here, 98.7 ESPN?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay.
Is it a daytime personality at the station?
No, it isn't.
It's not. Is it an on-air personality at the station?
It absolutely is.
It absolutely is. But not daytime, Chris.
Not daytime.
So that really only leaves us Carlin, Larry. Is Gordon lumped into daytime? Because he's typically 5 a.m.
Where is Gordon currently?
He's currently
nighttime.
Okay. All right. I think I know what it is.
You know what it is.
I believe I know what it is. Because the way you were so hesitant, it's involving Gordon. And Gordon had some very strange takes on the Twitter last night.
Very strange
Gordon
takes on the Twitter.
Is completely anti the show Ozark. So my guess is that you have a very angry take on one Gordon Damer and his disdain for the show Ozark.
I wouldn't call it angry. No, I mean, you're close. It's not an angry take. I mean, it is a take involving Gordon Damer. Yeah, you are correct with that.
So am I right, or is that the ultimate answer or no?
That's not the ultimate take. I mean, I don't think you'll get the ultimate take. I mean, it's not an angry take. Gordon Damer is officially now ESPN's new Skip Bayless with his takes.
So I don't know whatever it is, how we could have actually gotten that correct. I think we did pretty well.
No, you
did
great.
All right, Dave.
Like, whatever it is that people, like a vast majority of people like, he'll go the complete opposite. Like, he'll take
the
complete opposite of it.
Yeah. He's a contrarian.
He's that guy. He's that guy.
Yeah.
He's that guy.
I didn't hear one person. Between the three of us, we see and hear everything. Did you hear one person yesterday say that they actually liked the horse vehicle?
No.
Not one person. I did. Except Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless actually enjoyed it because no one else did. Everyone I've talked to likes Ozarks except one person,
mm-hmm.
Gordon Damer. Mm-hmm. Not just dislikes it, thought it was trash.
Yeah, awful. Said he saw, and I didn't see it yet, so don't ruin it. He saw the big finale coming on episode 5. He could have told you that was going to happen.
Of course he did, because all of a sudden now he's Steven Spielberg. He's Gordon Scorsese.
But here's the thing, though. Why would you be critical of that show now? When the bar is so low to clear in terms of entertainment value with shows on television.
Because Gordon is now a shock jock.
Yeah, he's hot take Damer. That's what he is.
Right? Nobody is calling Ozark like Friends or anything like that. We're not saying it's on that level. But it's still solid quarantine and chill content.
I agree with you. I completely agree with you. No one's saying it is what it is, man. I mean, it's sit back and you get to, watch some craziness. You get some, you
it
name
keeps
it.
You entertained.
Exactly right. Some crazy stuff happens.
Are you disappointed in Gordon?
No, I'm not disappointed. He's clearly carving out his niche is what he's doing.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, there's a role that needs to be filled. And, Gordon is more than happy to be that guy.
Yeah. He's just that guy. Whatever the facts are, he's going to go the other way. Yesterday I heard he said it was a beautiful day. Now, most of us disagree. He said, just sensational weather. So,
wow.
Yeah. That is
bang, bang.
That is Gordon Damer. Just moments away from Knobservations, and we'll get there in a second. But let's go to Jake in Morristown. Jake, you're next up on 98.7. What's up, buddy?
Hey, first time, long time.
We appreciate the call and you reaching out, Jake. How you doing?
Hey, hope you guys are doing safe. Been all safe and doing everything that's needed. Just wanted to know what you guys think about for the Islanders. They're 1 point back and they played two less games. What do you think about them playing Columbus just to see a win and get in?
It's going to depend on, the situation and how they, it would be, it would suck if they didn't qualify for the playoffs because they had games in hand. But, at this point, whatever the NHL decides to do.
Right.
To try to get, teams playing games. If it's, taking two extra teams or whatever it is and have, the best of three to see who makes that, whatever it ends up being. I'm not going to be, I'll be
disappointed.
Choked up a bit. I'll be disappointed, but it is what it is at this point.
Yeah. I don't think, and thanks for the call, Jake, I don't think at this point you can freak out about anything.
No.
We sat here and we said it minutes ago, Chris, how desperate we are for the return of sports. So we understand how unideal the situations are in every sport, whatever it is that they have to do. I heard Chris Fowler talking about you might have spring college football. You might have college football take place in March through July. We do not know. And whatever has to be done, I think you just have to abide by that with all these different leagues.
Somehow I doubt that football won't be played this fall, Dave. And I'm not saying that you're going to have tens of thousands of fans in the stands. I think we're going to have football this fall, college football and pro football.
I desperately hope so.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, but here's
man.
The thing, though. But Chris, here's the thing, though. I mean, what you also need to take into account, though, too, is if you're college football, you'd obviously like to start when you're supposed to start.
Mm-hmm.
But what is that? So you, I mean, you get your TV deals and everything else. But if you do decide, if you can make it work to push this thing back, and that means all of a sudden now you'll have regular, you know, regular attendance in these games with how important it is to have. I mean, you're talking about 100,000 people going to college football games.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in your benefit financially to push it back a couple months?
Well, here's the thing. There is that natural buffer that college football has because you have like the regular season finales and the conference championship games, like the end of November, beginning of December. Then you've got, you know, about a month until you start talking about the major bowl games being played. So
right.
Maybe there is a little bit of a buffer that college football can eat into. So maybe they can delay the start of the season a little bit. But I think these games are going to be played because the television money is so big that they're not going to have any choice. Now, obviously, you have to have the regard for public health and, most importantly, the players and the coaches. But I don't know that fans will be there. But I would have a hard time believing that we're not going to see any college football or any pro football this fall.
Now, I'm not saying it's the wrong thing, but of any sport to be played with no fans, the one which would look most shocking to me, I think, is college football.
Yes.
It's such a big part of the game. To watch the game no fans?
Yeah, but here's the other thing, though, too, Dave. I mean, what does that mean, though? So if college football is playing with no fans, does that mean that do you somehow, like, we don't even know if, like, I mean, you saw what happened in New York City with, you know, school being canceled for the rest of the year. I mean, who's to say there's college kids now? I mean, colleges, they're doing school at home. I mean, are colleges going to be reopened? Like, are you going to be able to bring the football players in if there's no students at the school? How does that work?
I don't think you can do that, can you? Can you have games of 100,000 people or 80,000 people if you're not allowing students on campus?
No. I'm not saying that's obvious. Like that goes without saying. I'm saying if you decide, like, if the schools aren't reopened, like if mm-hmm. colleges aren't reopened and kids are being told that you're gonna the school year will start, and you'll be home, you'll be doing homeschooling. Can you now just have the football players like report to school if the rest of the college isn't open?
How can you do that? I don't think you can. Can you?
I don't know if you can or not, but I mean, isn't that one of the things that needs to be, that would have to be answered before?
Of course.
Dave, you know, they'll find some obscure argument to say that the football players are in a safe and contained environment on the campus, and that way they're not at any unnecessary risk participating in athletics in the fall. You know they'll do that.
Or they'll say it's a necessary event, right? That it is
essential service?
Essential services that it has to go on. That college football is essential to this country.
So it's an essential service, but the kids can't be essential workers because technically they're not employees. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. All right. let's get on with it and let's fire up some observations.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. We'll start with a good story, as we've been doing here.
No.
The Detroit Pistons owner, good on him, announced Monday that he has purchased 100,000 personal protective masks that will be donated to city police officers, firefighters, bus drivers, and other city employees working with the public. So good on him. 100,000
masks. That's great. Yeah, that's awesome.
Truly
I love
whatever
stories.
You can do. Yeah,
with
you
so
can
many
do.
Of these awful stories going on, anytime we have a chance to have one of these good ones, let's make sure to bring it to the forefront.
Well, since you said that, Dave, I want to also throw this one out there. There's not a lot of positives that you can associate with the Cleveland Browns, but they're supposed to release their new uniforms tomorrow, and they've already said that all the proceeds from their new uniforms are going to go toward COVID-19 relief efforts. So good on the Cleveland Browns for doing that.
Yeah, it's great. And anybody and all that are doing stuff like that, we got to bring attention to it.
All right, here we go. Quick show of hands. Who could guess which state has deemed the WWE essential business?
Florida.
It could only be.
Florida.
It could only be. You don't have to you know, give us the question. You could give us all 50 states as an option. It could only be Florida.
It is, in fact, Florida, which is interesting, too, now. Because, I mean, if the WWE is essential business, I mean, that would lead you to believe that, I mean, as long as there's no one, you know, no one watching the events, that would open the door for Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NHL in Florida.
Of course. College football, all of it, right?
Yeah.
If the WWE is essential, how are all the other sports not essential? They have to be.
Yeah, they would be. But, I mean, it'd be interesting to see what happens now. I mean, that would be a viable place. I know that ice would be an issue, but I mean, with how it's set up, where the rink is located, you know, the amount of hotels that are in walking distance to the rink,
mm-hmm.
Tampa would be an interesting option for the NHL.
Yeah,
I mean, you're talking about. I mean, it's a 3-minute walk from the hotel, multiple
right.
hotels to the arena,
and just to house all of the games down there.
I don't think I wouldn't say all of the games, but you could take. I mean, you could take the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going straight to the playoffs, you could take the Eastern Conference, play two games a day. You know,
you could. What I don't understand is, and I'm not complaining. I mean, I love sports, but how is WWE considered as essential?
Well, they've decided that it's essential because people need to see it. Like you're talking about, if it's not affecting the physical health of the people participating or anyone, you know, anyone around the event, then you're talking about the mental health of people that need to, you know, need something to watch.
Listen, I'm all for it coming back. I still don't.
No, but that would be the argument. If you're not putting anyone at risk because you're taking the proper precautions, you have no one, you know, you have no spectators. All the wrestlers are being tested, and everyone is tested negative. So you're not putting their well-being in jeopardy. You're providing a service for people that are, you know, stuck at home. I guess that would be the argument, and it's the mental well-being.
I guess.
Oh, that's what you hope, though, isn't it?
I mean, if you're looking for these other leagues. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm thrilled that if it comes back. I am. I know people love wrestling, and I'm all for things coming back. I do not understand how that is essential.
Well, but you better wrap your head around it, because that's the only, I mean, that's going to be the argument that you need to make for any of these leagues that want to start up.
Yeah, but I think you have to absolutely have the approval of public health officials, and I don't know that you're going to get that from the federal level. Now, maybe the people that they're leaning on locally as a resource say that it's okay, but to me, you can't make this type of decision in a bubble. You know what I mean? Because you're going to affect people in the region. And I just think that that's one of those things that's a little bit borderline, seeing as how where we're at right now with this pandemic.
No, but you said it. You're going to need, this is not going to be you just to make a decision. Like the NBA, the NHL just said, hey, this is what we're going to do. No, you're going to have, you'll approach whatever it is, whatever state it is, with your plan. And they'll either help you or they'll say, we're not doing it. So, I mean, if this, you know, fingers crossed, works out for, you know, Florida making the decision that, you know, the WWE can have live shows, and no one, you know, comes down with COVID-19. No one gets sick, and this thing goes off, you know, fairly well.
Right.
Then that's a good thing for the other leagues.
Yeah, and doesn't mean that maybe baseball is not too far behind, right? If we use WWE as kind of the guinea pig here for sports to get back into being played.
Yeah, because the last thing you would want is that all of a sudden, I mean, it seems ridiculous when you even say it, that, I mean, the WWE is essential business. And it is kind of ridiculous. But the last thing you would, I mean, would want to have happen is Florida lets this happen and something goes wrong. And now they have egg on their face and they're embarrassed. So now what state's going to go out on a limb and give you the ability to restart your league?
You almost can't.
Exactly right.
So whether you like wrestling or not, you better root for it right now.
You better root for it.
Yep.
Here we go, because we got to get into the story that I didn't want to get into yesterday because I didn't feel like we had enough time, because it's a serious story. So just quickly, did this happen in Florida? I mean, this is a terrible story. So apparently a man thought it was a good idea to call orders into New Jersey. He ordered thousands of dollars worth of phony pizza, claiming that the food was going to be donated to the police, authorities said. Man who did the ordering never paid or picked up any of the orders that he placed.
Ugh.
Never. Didn't pick them up. On several occasions when the restaurants called back the number where the order was being made, The man who made the order bizarrely said that he wished Italians would get infected with coronavirus.
Oh my, so that's he actually gave his number?
Well, yeah, no, they called back the number. Yeah, they called back. No one said he was smart. They called back the number that he was using and said, you know, where are you to pick up these pizzas? And he said, you know, he just said that he was hoping that Italians would be infected with the coronavirus.
Oh, God.
It's a terrible person.
Terrible person.
Who even thinks awful of this person. Kind of stuff?
And oh, by the way, this guy, I mean, you just, this is just icing on the cake here. The man who made these orders was actually on probation for selling fake Disney World tickets.
Oh, God, he's the devil.
I mean, this guy's the worst.
I mean, it's the happiest place on earth and he's selling fake tickets.
This guy's the worst. That is the worst.
But is there a big black market for tickets to Disney?
I mean, have you ever been? I guess so.
Yeah, but you could just walk up and buy tickets, no?
Well, yeah, but you're probably, I mean, he's probably selling cheaper tickets,
I guess.
Right, right.
Like half-price tickets. You're right.
You know?
Yeah, he's ingenious, if nothing else.
Yeah, what a, I mean, that
a little bit evil.
My first, evil's, I mean, that's an understatement. Did that happen? Is this guy in Florida?
I'm going to say, the guy was in Florida.
Well, hang on a second. Let me have a line of question here. I thought you said this was in Jersey.
No. He was calling this man. We don't know where
he was. This man is calling pizza places in Jersey.
In New Jersey.
But we're unsure where he's calling from.
Exactly right. He is making fake calls to
pizzerias. So there's a chance that this guy's sitting in a condo in Boca. Calling like Livingston, New Jersey, ordering fake pizzas.
Exactly.
I'll say
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll say yes. That's exactly what I mean.
Exactly. Exactly, Dave.
So you say Florida or not Florida?
I'll say Florida.
Santiago, Florida or not Florida?
I feel like it has to be Florida to be diabolical, but the New Jersey thing really throws me off. I'll say not.
You would be wrong. That is in Florida. That man is actually in Florida.
Yes.
Well, awful. He's a lot of effort.
He was in Orlando. He's believed to be in Orlando making calls to
you know what? You
New
said
Jersey.
Selling tickets to Disney should have given us a little hint as well.
Very fair.
Mm-hmm.
Santiago, yeah, but I mean, who knows? Right, I mean, the guy's ordering pizzas in New Jersey, and he's in a different state. I mean, it's just diabolical. It's ridiculous.
He really is.
All right, speaking of knobs, I mean, this, it's only Tuesday, and between what, you know, what was available for knobs yesterday and what's going to happen the rest of the week, I would say he is officially going to be the knob of maybe the month. Maybe not. We'll say month. Who knows how this year is going to end up. Kyle Larson. You know, Chris brought this up yesterday.
Yes.
NASCAR driver. And I didn't want to comment. I didn't want to do it till I actually heard firsthand, him say it. So yesterday he was reprimanded for using a racial slur during one of these I races. Didn't realize he lost the audio between him and his spotter and didn't realize that, you know, what he was saying was still being broadcast. And he used the N-word, of course, because why wouldn't you? What an idiot. So he's lost all but one sponsor. And today, to everyone's, I know I'm happy about it. Chris, I'm sure you feel the same way. He was fired by his racing team.
Yeah, I mean, the guy deserved it. I mean, Rick.
Of course he did.
Yeah, I mean, he's on this virtual racing thing, which NASCAR is trying to promote just because they've had to cancel a lot of their major events. I mean, he's supposed to be on this vehicle where he's competing against other drivers. And the thought is that other racing fans can actually listen in on the conversation, the back and forth between the drivers. And he would make a comment like that where everybody could hear him. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, but what's so upsetting to me is just that would even be a thought that went through his head. Like, whatever, I don't understand the iRacing, but I guess they're competing in something online, right?
Yeah.
And he becomes frustrated. Fine. Normal.
It wasn't. I mean, it wasn't even that. I guess, I mean, if you want to say frustrated, I mean, it was. I don't even know if you want to. I wouldn't even say it was.
Well, he lost communication, right? That's what happened.
He lost communication, and then he blurted out the word.
Right,
what
but
aggravates
what I just,
me.
What I don't understand is how you could go from being angry to using, you know, racial epithet. Like, I just, it doesn't add. If I was angry, the last thing I would do is just start to use racial slurs.
Hey, but time out. What I'm trying to explain to you is when you listen to it, when you hear it, which makes what he said awful, but for me, the apology even worse, when he goes out, you know, a word that should never be said, when you hear him say it, this was a word that he used on a regular basis.
Yeah, he was real comfortable.
Like, this is part of his vocabulary.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't something that he just, like, lost his mind and said it's in frustration. Like, this is a word that he uses on a regular basis.
Right. There's no way that anyone could convince me that all of a sudden this guy, for the first time ever, was frustrated with lack of communication to whoever he's trying to talk to, and then he just blurts out racial slurs. There's just
no, you know what it's like?
No way.
You know what? I want to even go beyond calling it a racial slur. At this point, it's hate speech.
Yeah.
Like, if you use that term, that is hate speech. And there is no place for it in the landscape of sports. There's no place for it in our society, period, but I'm not naive as to think that other people don't use it. My only thing is this. If you have the kind of platform that Kyle Larson has and you use something like that in a public forum, you deserve to lose your sponsorships. You deserve to lose the opportunity to do that job. You do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even a question. And I thought his apology was ridiculous.
It was very
weak. It was so weak and was so phony. I mean, it was, dude, like the fact that he was fired from his racing team was, I mean, couldn't have been more well deserved for being as stupid and saying what he said. Ridiculous.
Yep. It was justice. It was.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.